This morning, I'd like to talk to you really about your heart. If you notice, that song that we just finished singing is one that talks about opening your eyes and open your eyes to the heart of the Lord. First of all, though, we sometimes think about our own heart, our physical heart, and there's some dynamics of our physical heart that many of you may have gone through. If you take your fist for just a minute, that's about the size of your heart. Let's put it right there. That's the size of your heart. But what a miraculous thing that was created by our Heavenly Father when we think of our heart. To give you some just ideas about this, did you know that your heart beats 72 times a minute? 72 times a minute. And you don't have to sit there and say, go ahead, heart, keep beating, keep beating. That's the creation of our Almighty God. That means it's about 104,000 times in a day. You don't even have to worry about it. 3.6 million times a year, that heart of yours is beating. 2.5 billion times in your average lifestyle. And people say there is no God, there is no creator, but there's a God in heaven who has created each of us. And when we think of our body, and especially when we think of our heart, what a creation he has created. Did you know that your blood is pumped about 2,000 gallons every day. In a lifetime, 1.5 million barrels of blood is pumped. Your heart weighs less than a pound, but does all that through your whole lifestyle and your whole life. Blood vessels in your body extend some 60,000 miles. You can't see them unless you get a scan. But 60,000 miles. Every day your heart creates enough energy to drive a truck 20 miles. How important that is to us as far as our physical heart. And naturally, with our physical heart, we think many times about the things that go wrong with it. We have heart attacks. We have congested heart disease. We have heart murmurs and all of those kinds of things, which are important to us. And I imagine some of you out in the audience this morning have gone through that, have had heart attacks, and sometimes panic attacks, which to some feel like it's the same thing. And that's important. But I would guess and say to you this morning that there's something more important than our physical heart, and that's our spiritual heart. I want to ask you that question this morning. How's your spiritual heart doing this morning? There's many verses in the scriptures that talk about the heart. 963 times in the scriptures, the word heart is mentioned. 963 times. Which means that it must be important to God in the writing of his word that he mentions the heart 963 times. Now, granted, not all of them are negative. There's a lot of positive things that are said about the heart, but it's an issue that we need to look at and think about when we want to grow in the Lord. What's our spiritual heart really like? If you look at the book of Proverbs itself, there's 90 times in Proverbs that the word heart is used. Now, I promise you one thing. We're not going to cover 963, nor are we going to cover 90 Proverbs this morning. Otherwise, we'd be here through maybe this afternoon or tonight. But those verses on the heart are so important, not only to study, but also to take heart and live through. So as we talk about those things this morning, I want to talk about several important parts of those. In Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Keep the heart with all diligence. What's that mean? It means that you got to work at it. You got to sweat over it. You can't just say, oh, there it is. I'm not going to do anything. It would be like somebody who is overweight saying, well, let's see, I'm going to do some exercises today. Oh, yes, I exercise today. It says, with all diligence, we have to work at it. That means getting into the Word. I won't ask questions, or you don't have to raise your hands, but I ask one question. How many of you in the last 2 years or 3 years or 4 years have read through the Scriptures? If I would start at Genesis, let's say, and said, raise your hand if you've read Genesis in the last year. Don't raise your hand, but how many of you could raise your hand? Or if I went on to Deuteronomy or Exodus, how many of you? And if we got a small percentage, like 20 or 30%, would we tear it out and say, well, people don't like it anymore, or they're not using it? God says, with all diligence. That means we got to work at it. You have to work at it. I have to work at it. We have to take the time in our daily life to work at it with all diligence. He says, for out of it springs the issues of life. I'm venturing this morning that some of you have some issues in your life that are springing forth that you hold in to yourself. And some of you let those issues spring out. When you meet or greet somebody this morning, how many of you said, hello, how are you? And they said, fine, with a smile on their face. But in their heart, they were going through some things. I would imagine that, listen, the family are going through something. Yeah, pastor had his surgery, but now he's recovering. We want him to recover what? Oh, just okay. No, I would imagine his four boys want him to recover so they can play ball with him. Issues that we have. I could look around the room and just by the look on some faces would say, yeah, I think you're going through an issue. All of us have issues. Did you know this morning I have issues? I do. But I'm trying to leave them at the footstep of the cross. Is that where you're leaving your issues? What are other issues, though? Well, money, politics, the world we live in, our marriage. We could go on and on, those issues that confront us every morning, every day. What do we do with those? It says they spring forth. Are we going to let them just go? And when you let them go, who's in charge then? Is it you? Is it the Lord? Or is it the evil one? In Sunday school class, Brother Larry talked about unmerited grace, unmerited favor, the grace of God, and issues that we have, fear, anxiety, tension. How many of us have those in our life, that we're anxious over things? Are we anxious over what's happening in the world today? Are we anxious over the people who are in Sudan, who are missionaries there? Are we anxious over our relationship with others? Do we have fears? Scripture says fear shouldn't be in our lifestyle, because fear is a liar, because it comes from the author of lies. For where your treasure is, where your actions are, he says in Luke 12:34, there your heart will also be. Is our heart on the right things? Is it on our job and how much time we can spend on our job or on our hobby? I have a friend who's a golfer who makes sure he has time for a golfing game every week, but he forgets his family. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh, in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with you. See, our spiritual heart can be in such a condition that it causes major problems. We have to look at those symptoms, and we have to look at those things that might be problems so we can take and solve those. A.W. Tozier said this, "The heart of a man is like a musical instrument and can be played upon by the Holy Spirit or by another spirit or by the person himself." So there's a warning even in that message there that we have to be careful. Who's giving us the message for our heart? Are we willing to take the symptoms that we see? Just like when we think of our physical heart, there's symptoms that sometimes people have. If we have a heart attack, what caused that? Do we have a symptom? Do we have pain in our arms? Do we know that if we're well overweight or if we're anxious over a long period of time, that there's changes in our body? Well, you know, that happens in our spiritual life as well. A.W. Tozier said this as well. He says, "The widest and wildest thing in the universe is not space. It is the potential capacity of the human heart. Being made in the image of God, it is capable of almost any unlimited extension in all directions. And our world tragedies is that we allow our heart to shrink until there is room for only one thing, and that's ourselves." We can become so worrisome and so working at doing things for ourselves and what's in it for me, or it's my time, it's my money, it's my job, and forget that God wants us to shed our heart for others. Martin Luther said this, "I am more afraid of my heart." And if you remember the life of Martin Luther, when he wrote his 95 theses and placed it on the door, separating himself out of the Catholic Church to say, justification by faith alone. He says, "I'm more afraid of my heart than the Pope and cardinals." And if you know anything history of that time and what he was going through, that's an awesome statement of his. More worried about his heart. And so it, should it be with us. We should be more worried about our heart and where we are spiritually than worried about our physical heart. So let's look at that. What about some of those conditions spiritually where we have those conditions? What about what we might say from a physical side, a heart blockage? Well, if you have a heart blockage, what does that mean? It means something in your bloodstream or in your heart is blocking it. Might mean that your vessels are too small and you have a blockage there. Might mean that you have a blockage where blood vessels or the blood comes together because of a condition within the blood itself and you have a heart blockage. So what's that mean spiritually, though? Well, overall, it means that we're not getting into the Word. If you have your Bibles with you, if you have a pew Bible there, I'm not sure of the page because I didn't look that up. But I want you to turn to Proverbs 4. Because when we think of that heart blockage, we want to look at some things that will help us create a better heart condition for us. Proverbs chapter 4. If you look at verse 20, he says this, "My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart." Incline your ear to my sayings. In other words, you need to listen to my sayings. It means you need to read it, you need to hold on to it, you need to memorize it, If you look at Psalm 119, verses 11 through 20, it talks about those issues of taking your word into your heart, memorizing it, heeding it, holding on to it. Why? Because this is the issue of life, to help you and help me overcome the things that are in the world. Keep them in the midst, not on the outside. It's not like you're walking down a street and you come to the edge of the curb and you're walking as close to the curb, end of the curb, so you would slip off. Or you don't go mountain climbing and come to the edge of the mountain where you look down and it's 200 feet straight down, and you don't walk along the side and say, oh, I wonder, could I slip off? No, you stand far away from it. But as you look at the word in Proverbs, it also is a great book because it not only tells us about the things that you and I can do to help our heart, but it's also that wisdom that God gives us to walk with him the way we should. But if you've gone through Proverbs enough, you know it not only talks about wisdom, but it talks about another four-letter word that's, you shouldn't be going that way. It talks about the fool. So as we talk about the heart, we might ask the same question according to Proverbs. Do you want wisdom? And if so, where do you get it? You get it from his word. If you don't want wisdom, then go ahead and be a fool. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a fool. He goes on, keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their flesh. I would hope all of us want to be healthy. And he tells us right there the simplest way to do it, keep them in the midst of our heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all our flesh. We don't have to worry about that issue if we hold them on to our flesh. That's the positive way. Keep your heart with all diligence. Again, with all diligence. Those of you that have been active in sports or other activities or playing an instrument, you know that it takes diligence and a lot of practice to become proficient at whatever you're doing. And even in the business world or the occupation that you have, to work hard and be diligent in order to do a job and to do it well. You can't do it half-heartedly. I don't want to walk into a heart surgeon who says, well, let's see, what is this? I don't want that. And I know you wouldn't. And I know a pastor wouldn't want a surgeon Friday morning who says, well, let's see, is it right or left shoulder? What are we doing? I'm not sure about which muscles I'm supposed to do here. I can't even identify them from the chart, you know. I can't find them in there. No. We have to be diligent. We have to be sincere. Only you can answer that question for your life. It says, for it is the spirit, or for the spring, the issues of life. Then he goes on to say, be careful. He says, put away from you a deceitful mouth. This is talking again about that heart attack. Do you have a deceitful mouth? Do we say things that we shouldn't? He says, put it away. Now, putting away doesn't mean, okay, I'll stop right now. But we don't try to re-educate our mind and our body to be able to say something nice to someone. Instead, we keep doing the same thing over and over and over. He says, don't let that spring out. Change. And the only way to change is get into God's word, that he will make you over into that new person. Proverbs 12, 1 and 2 talks about, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What is that good and perfect and spiritual work? God tells us we need to renew our minds. I don't want to renew my mind. Why not? I like the way I am. Well, good, but I don't want to be around you. Can that be said of any of us, that people don't want to be around us because what we say or what we do, that they say, look at that hypocrite? He says, renew it. Put away and put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the paths of your feet and let your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Remove your foot from evil. What path are you going on? The right one or the left one? Are you following what the Word says? Are you allowing the Word to speak to your heart? See, you could have that spiritual heart blockage. Why? Because getting into the Word should change you. Proverbs 28:14 says this, happy is the man that feareth the Lord always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. If we forget what we're doing and we forget what God has taught us, that's when we fall into mischief. We say the wrong thing. We do the wrong things. God's Word tells us in the epistles, be not only hearers of the Word, I can study this for hours and hours, but if I don't do it, it's no good. If I don't make it a practical part of my life, it does no good. How's your heart today? Do you have a heart blockage or a heart attack? What about an enlarged heart? Did you know you can have an enlarged heart? I have a friend who has an enlarged heart. And he has to be careful of certain things and certain diets and stuff like that. But he has an enlarged heart. What causes a spiritual enlarged heart? It's caused by pride or a superego or a philosophy or a thought pattern that you're better than somebody else. We would say, from a psychological point of view, he has an I problem. It's me. I'm better than you. God says, be careful of that. Jeremiah 17, 9 and 10 says this, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know? I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the conscience, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruits of his doing. How's your heart today? Proverbs 10:4 says this, the wicked, through the pride of his countenance, will not seek God, nor will God be part of his thoughts. Are you taking time to seek the Lord and see what he has to say to you? Some of you may remember back in about 2000, 2001, we had several programs at the fairgrounds and had speakers there, and evangelists came in to talk. And he mentioned one thing to me that has stuck with me. I want to share those again with you. He said, when you study the scripture, I always think of four words. He says, Lord, speak to me. So as we study the word, as we read, as we have our devotions, as we pray, that God would speak to us through his word. So when you're done with your devotions, what has God taught you, or what is he saying to you? When you have an issue, do you go to him and say, okay, you know, I'm anxious, Lord, and you get into his word, and you see what he has to say about being anxious and how to overcome that. But then you don't do anything with it. He says, Lord, speak to me. Have a tender heart that God's word would crush your heart. We can have that enlarged heart. Proverbs 28:25 says this, he that has proud heart stirreth up strife. Now, if we're prideful, we can cause problems with individuals, within marriages, within people we work with. Says, be careful of that. Do you have a proud heart this morning? Proverbs 10:8 says this, "The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall." Do you have a proud heart this morning? Or are you going to allow the Lord to speak to your heart? There's also another physical condition with the heart. Also can be a problem with the spiritual heart as well. What about a congestive heart failure? It's the loss of the ability to put the word into action. We can talk a good story, but we don't do what we say. Again, it goes back to that comment I made before. We can't be just hearers of the word or studiers of the word. We have to be doers of the word. Because if we study the scriptures and believe in what the scripture says, if we know what to do and we don't do it, the word says it's sin. That's right, folks. It's sin. If we know what to do and we don't do it, it's sin. If I know my brother is hurting and I don't do something to help him, that's sin. Psalm 14:1 says this, "A fool says in their heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They are done abominable works." Proverbs 10:20 says this, "The heart of the wicked is of little worth." Proverbs 21:2 says, "Every way of a man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the heart." The Lord weighs the heart. Look at what I've done. No, you didn't do it for the Lord. You did it for yourself. Look at the life of the Sadducees and Pharisees. Look at what I gave. Look at, I'm praying. But God says, your heart isn't right. Do we do that sometimes? Do we have the wrong heart attitude? We could also have blood vessels that get blocked or our heart gets blocked. Why? Because of the stubbornness that we don't want to hear or don't want to be counseled or don't want to get into the word. Proverbs 28:26 says this, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." Again, going back to Proverbs, yes, there's wisdom if we read it and we do it. But if we don't do it, he also speaks about being a fool. Which do you want to be? Healthy with a good heart, with wisdom, or do you want to be a fool? Matthew 15:18 says this, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they may defile the man." What comes out of your heart? What comes out of your mouth? So do we have blocked vessels? You know, unfortunately, sometimes you don't even know you have blocked vessels until you have to go in physically to get a scan of it. And when he checks that, he says, "Well, you know, I need to go in and put a stent in your heart or clear out the vessel in your neck." And if you don't do it, what happens? You could die physically. But we can die spiritually. That's why we need to be careful. We could also have a heart murmur. Complaining from the trivial to the significant actions or activities of life. You know somebody who murmurs all the time, throws a pity party all the time? Philippians 2:14 says, "Do all things without," what? "Murmuring and disputing or complaining." Oh, I lost my job because I didn't get to work all the time. on time. And the boss was just mean to me. Well, get up, get to work, quit complaining. How many times do we do that? We see it in others easily, but we don't apply it to ourselves. He says, be careful, don't murmur. In contrast to that, Proverbs 15:13 says, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. Speaking with a brother this morning, he says, I just love being here. We're so happy. We laugh together as brothers and sisters in Christ. A merry countenance make a cheerful countenance. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance. But by sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. How's your heart? Is it merry? Or is it sorrowful? Yeah, we all go through situations and problems and the life issues, but how do we view them? In the light of the world? Or in the light of our Savior? How do we view them? What about hypertension for the heart? That's anger and fear and sensitivity. We need to get the mind set right on the Word rather than on the world. Psalm 119, 10 and 11 says this, with my whole heart have I sought thee. O let not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Proverbs 23:12 says this, apply thy heart unto instruction and thine ears to the words of knowledge. Proverbs 16:1 says, the preparation of the heart belongs to man. What kind of preparation of the heart are you doing and using every day, every moment? The preparation of the heart belongs to man. But the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. Amen? The answer is from the Lord. Is that who and what you're seeking? Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding in all thy ways. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Psalm 51:10 says this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit. Create in me a new heart. Again, I don't know what condition of your spiritual heart is this morning. I would hope that is seeking the Lord, that you're working at doing those things God wants in your life. But we need to be seeking those things that God wants us to do, not only those things he wants us to say. We need to be in his word. Hebrews 4:12 says this, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit and of the joints and marrow and of the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How do we get there? We only get there for one reason and one way, and that's getting into the word of God. So how's your heart today? Is it seeking the Lord? If you look at Proverbs, what a great book to find his word. 31 chapters. You can read one chapter a day, each month. Just underline the important things that God speaks to you. He'll also give you that information about how to have wisdom and not to be a fool. If you go back to Psalms, he will speak to you in your heart on his precepts and his commandments of how to live and how to walk with him. How's your heart today? There's a musician, Dan Gorky, who sings a song. It's called Tell Your Heart to Beat Again. In his life, he had some tragedy. His wife, young, loving, unexpectedly passed away from cancer. And he sings the song, and he talks about going through that tragedy and how he had to hold on to the Lord. And he knew a pastor who lived in Ohio who was a heart surgeon. And the heart surgeon was in his congregation, and he said, "You know, I've always wanted to take and see a heart operation." So he asked the surgeon if he could come in and view the surgery of one of the people in his congregation. So he got his permission. He got the permission of the patient, and he went into the operating room, and they had a dome area where you could go up and you could look down and watch the operation. So the doctor took, and he went through all of the procedure and the surgery, and he had the heart out, and he fixed the heart and put the heart back in. The heart wouldn't start. And he told about the doctor did something unusual. He leaned down and said, "Mrs. Johnson, we fixed your heart. Let it beat again." It beat again. The great physician stepped in and started that heart. How's your heart today? The only way we can do it, we can't do it on our own because we're incapable of doing that. But the great physician can. And I would imagine again today, as I mentioned at the beginning, there are some of you here today who are going through a heart issue, who are having some problems with your heart. I don't know what they are. I know what I go through. But are you willing to give it to the great physician? Some of you are hungry today. Remember, he is the bread of life. Some of you are thirsty. He's the living water. Some of you are seeking truth. He's the author of truth. He's the great shepherd. He's looking for his sheep to come back to him. Are you one who've been away? Are you one who haven't been mentioned as one of his sheep? He's searching for you. He wants you in the fold. He wants your name in the book of life. How's your heart today?